the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on VOB 92.9 FM. You can call us at 434-1790. You can send us a WhatsApp at 253-4679 or an email at cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought to you in association with our very good friends at Barbados Lottery, promoting youth sport and culture. Well, the West Indies women not starting well at all. I had an opportunity to watch a lot of the match yesterday, and I was very disappointed. 163 for 8 made by England looked as if they might have made a lot more runs at one stage, but the West Indies bowlers pulled things back quite nicely. And in the end, the West Indies 116 for 6 from the 20 overs. Deandra Dutton, the only star for the West Indies, good to see her back. She actually made 69 from 59 balls, 6 fours and 2 sixes. But nobody in the side got into double figures. And this must be of great concern to us all in the Caribbean. You know, ever since they won the World Cup back in 2016, the side has not performed well at all. And on this evening's Mason and Guests, a little bit later on, we're going to be talking to the lead selector, Anne Brong-John. In fact, we did an interview with her earlier, and we hope to be able to bring that interview to you this afternoon. In terms of the other guests, we hope to link with Dr. Kishore Shallow. And of course, as well, we are going to be talking to the Honourable Ralph Thorne, QC MP, and Stetson Wiltshire, Dr. Stetson Wiltshire, a Bayfield boy like myself, I must add. And there's a big match coming up on the weekend. In fact, on Sunday, we're going to be having that big match up at Dover. And it's really looking in helping the needy, cricket helping the needy. And it should be very interesting. We hope to be able to join them, I would imagine, just around 6:45 in the evening. So we're looking forward to Ralph Thorne and RPB. At the moment, they are actually having a big meeting there, hoping that the stars will come out and lots of people will come out, of course, and participate. It's so important that we make sure that our children, they're looked after. Things are very, very, very tough indeed. And we hope that Ralph Thorne and his team can get a big crowd to come out and certainly support that worthy cause. A little bit later on, the BCA Corner, we hope to join, of course, our very good friend, Director of Cricket, Mr. Stephen Leslie. He is going to be joining us a little bit later on to talk about the local season. Series 7 coming up, looking very, very interesting as the teams qualify for the quarterfinals and then, of course, the semifinals and then the grand final. My good friend, Dr. Andrew Ford, has just put his specs on. Dr. Ford, nice to see you, Doc. What a disappointment for the West Indies in terms of the women. Were you surprised, Doc?
And all the listeners. Yeah, it was a disappointment. England were well in control. And as you said, there was a stage where it looked like they would have got 180. And they were very aggressive. But we got some wickets in the last 5 overs. But we never threatened their score. And the batting really didn't click at all. But it was still good to see Deandra Dutton having one of her first significant scores since her injury. And I'm sure that would give her more confidence and allow her to build as the rest of the 5 match series continues. But, you know, the West Indian women were a bit deficient in various parts of the game. You mentioned the bowling, a few catches as well. And and being fleet-footed in the field, but the batting is the biggest concern of all, I would say.
Yes, indeed. And
Andrew.
In fact, we can be looking forward to hearing from Anne Brong-John, the lead selector. She was very much a part of our discussion. But what has gone wrong, though, Doc, since 2016? You know, we've not seen the team do well at all, and this must be a great worry.
Yeah, definitely it's a big worry. When the World Cup was in the Caribbean, the team looked pretty good. You know, they were world champions then. We came to the Caribbean and we had a decent tournament there. But when you look at the approach of the batters from England, and then when you watch the other top teams like India and Australia, they're much more purposeful. They're much more balanced, and our batsmen seem to be limited, and also they seem to lack the power. I believe Gus Logie, the last international tournament, made mention of what he'd seen and the concerns he had with the batting. But I also think that you could say that our women could be a little fitter, and because we do have natural athletic ability. But you know, with the COVID lockdown and everybody being sequestered for several months, that could have affected them. But also, I believe England's just had more time to train and to practice, and all the cricket in the world seems to be happening in England, most of it, except for the CPL that we had here and now the start of the IPL. So the England Cricket Board must be definitely ahead of all other cricketing boards as far as cricket during COVID-19 is concerned. It's showing in the performance of all their international teams. But basically, all of the other top women teams have improved, and I think that we are still a tick or two below where we were as champions years ago.
All right, let's go to Trinidad and Tobago and talk to a very good man, Tony Gray. Hello, Tony, how are you?
Good evening to you, Andrew. Good evening to the doc, and good evening to your listeners. I am all right.
Yes. Well, the last time I heard you screaming for the TKR. And people said to me that you were a very biased commentator. Is that true?
Not true at all. I try to be very neutral.
Yeah, but it's always good to hear from you, Tony. Let's start with the women, though. What's going on with them? The first match against England, 163 for 8. England, the West Indies could only muster 116 for 6. I think you got to take up the coaching job, Tony.
I mean, that's a factor. The coach has just been changed. Obviously, you have a new coach, a new management staff, and then obviously you go into England. The girls have not been playing for a while, competitive cricket. They might have done individual work, skill work and that sort of thing. Not sure how great their fitness level is. And obviously, if you go into England, you have to get adjusted to the conditions in England. So it's another double whammy, a triple whammy for the girls.
Mm-hmm. And how important is fitness, Tony? I mean, when you were playing for the West Indies, they told me you were the fittest member of the side.
Fitness is very important, not just physical fitness, but mental fitness. And obviously, when you physically fit, it impacts you mentally. So I think that if you look at players now like Coley and Smith and these guys, they are tremendously fit because the volume of work that they have to perform at a high level now in not just playing international cricket for their countries, but the different franchises throughout the world is tremendous. So you have to be tremendously fit. So not only to perform well, but your recuperation part of it.
We're going to try and talk to Dr. Kishore Shallow, who is, of course, the Vice President of Cricket West Indies, and I think he's very much with us now. Is he? Hello, Dr. Shallow, how are you?
I am good. Good evening, Andrew. Good evening to your guests as well.
Right. Well, your very good friend, Dr. Ford, who's going to be part of your campaign next year, he's very much on Zoom. And have you ever met a man called Tony Gray from Trinidad?
I think we have spoken already, but I know him very well. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think we have had a chance yet to sit down and talk some cricket.
Right.
But, you know, right. That is something I'm really looking forward to.
Indeed. Now, talk to me, Dr. Shallow. Of course, we got the Vice President of Cricket West Indies with us and Tony Gray. We were just asking Tony about the England West Indies battle, the game that was on yesterday. You must be a little bit concerned, Doctor, with the start of the West Indies side. It lost rather badly.
I think it was obviously we always hoping for some stronger performances. However, we have to be practical as well in knowing who our opponents are. And in this case, the opponent is England. And quite a formidable team, one of the strongest female teams in the world at this moment. So I think the ladies, what they'll be looking for from out of the series is to ensure that they put up a very competitive fight, you know, ensure that, you know, each individual who gets an opportunity put their hands up and grab the opportunity. Because I think the way the female team is going now, you know, you have to look at, you know, widening the pool of players. And so every opportunity the players get at this point, they have to capitalize on it. I would be really happy, you know, if we could come up with a win this series, you know, but it's really a tough battle. I mean, England plays some exceptional cricket, not only this year, but for the past at least 2 years, they have been playing consistently good cricket, decent cricket. And so if our ladies could come away from this tournament, you know, improving their own personal stats, you know, getting a few wins, winning the series if possible. But I think what they have to focus on, you know, going out there every match and putting their best foot forward. I've spoken to the coach, Andrew Coley, express my best wishes and ask him to convey to the team as well, you know, and I'm sure that, you know, they know that we're rallying behind them 100%. And we just hope that, you know, once they put in the effort, you know, when you saw that exceptional knock, well, you know what I mean, 60 something, I think it was, but really good. One of the biggest sixes I've seen,
yes,
by any female cricketer.
Oh dear, oh dear.
You know,
yes.
So the potential is definitely there. If Kaylee could come good as well, you know, with DeAndre Barton like she did yesterday, Captain Stephanie Taylor and the others, you know, chipping in and you know, I think we could be a force that we can win England. But we just have to be focused. We have to, you know, want to win. We have to go on that field and, you know, have that game plan and execute those plans properly.
Tony, what would we have to do in relation to our women to get back to the top?
Well, a combination of things, obviously. We need more monies to prepare them properly because, as Mr. Shallow said, we're competing against some of the best teams in the world. And those cricketing environments are really professional environments that help their women to comprehensively not just develop but prepare for international competition. So we definitely need to have the monies coming in to assist our women. The women must have a self-belief too. So the personnel that we have around them must not only be good when it comes to developing their skills and their game awareness mentality, but also they have to be motivational and inspirational because you're dealing with young women too. Fitness level is a key, as I mentioned just now. They have to be tremendously fit and the ability to adjust to different conditions. So early education as relates to playing in different cricketing environments is a key to developing their game awareness skills and their ability to adapt to different playing conditions.
Mm-hmm. Doc?
Hi, Dr. Shallow, with COVID-19 being on us and the dormancy in the regional tournaments as well as the No Home Series on the horizon for this year, what has been the biggest limiting factor for the progression of West Indies cricket as far from your view during COVID?
Well, just the players, you know, can't gather to train as much as they would want to. Obviously, the franchise system is sort of delayed in most territories in terms of the players coming back together for practice. Unfortunately, they got to play some T20 recently in the CPL. But even at the start of that tournament, and some might argue that throughout that entire tournament, you saw some players a little rusty, you know. So that has certainly hindered, COVID has certainly hindered, you know, guys getting in the practice that they that they need. I think most franchises are looking to resume by next month in October, get all the players back together, the coaching staff and so on. And they will start their preparation for either the Super 50, which might be early next year, and then the full championship for the championship. What we have to do in the meantime is, you know, get guys to focus on the fitness especially. You know, hopefully that after this long break, you know, once they pace themselves back into cricket, then they won't be injured, and so they'll be able to give their full 100% come ahead for the next series. But in addition to the cricket aspects, which obviously we prefer to focus on, we can't forget the financial challenges, you know, with the corporate community throughout the Caribbean and the world. You know, they have been struggling, and we obviously rely on them to help us with our commercial activities. And so that part is a massive challenge, and we continue to try and manage that as well as we can. You know, CEO Johnny and his team, they're working quite hard in seeing how we could ensure that, you know, we maintain our relationship and build an existing relationship, as well as develop other new partners in world cricket, or persons who have interest in world cricket. And we are working hard, you know, we are trying to strengthen, come up with a plan for commercial activities as well going forward. Currently, Johnny and his team is also putting together a fixture to see how much cricket we can get in over the next couple of years, barring COVID. And I think we are in a fairly good place where that is concerned. I think because the fact that the Caribbean is doing, you know, well relative to the rest of the world with regards to COVID, then hopefully next year, once it doesn't get any worse, then we can host significant amount of cricket still. And that would definitely help with our revenue, you know, and hopefully help us to stabilize somewhat our entire cricket operations.
I'm glad you've come around to revenue, because that's a very big factor. Many of the boards, even boards as successful during COVID as the ECB, have mentioned financial losses, colossal financial losses. They've also mentioned attrition as far as salary cuts, and also, you know, remodeling the structure and some jobs being lost. What updates do you have for us regarding Cricket West Indies and the adjustments made due to the financial hardships that COVID have brought on?
Yeah, well, I mean, much credit to all our stakeholders, especially our employees, you know, those at the Secretariat in Antigua, our other contractees, players, coaches, everyone who involved, you know, who have agreed to a 50% pay cut over the last few months. I must really, you know, give, you know, President Ricky Skerritt and CEO Johnny Graves, as well as Director Billy Heaven from Jamaica, President of Jamaica Cricket Association, who is chairman of a committee that we set up, a financial committee that we set up to manage the situation. And we have done fairly well, so much so that we haven't laid off any staff at all up to this point. I think that in itself is commendable in terms of how we have managed this situation, especially when we look across the world and see England, who after, you know, announcing such a massive media deal, you know, they have to still get some job cuts. I think Australia as well, and other places in world cricket. So, you know, much credit to our executive administrators, as well as President Ricky Skerritt and other directors who are really waiting to help us manage and navigate through this challenging time.
Okay, so you did mention England again, and other boards with greater resources, greater reserves. They have also contracts for TV rights and that sort of thing. And how well we've done. Are you saying that we've done better than some of the bigger boards?
I haven't really made any comparison to say that, you know, but I was just speaking specifically to the fact that they had had to lay off employees, mm-hmm. you know, and only that I could, you know, I'm not in a position where I could say we have done better than anyone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I see. Tony, what recommendations do you have for Dr. Shallow to improve our cricket? Talk straight to the vice president.
Yeah, one of the things that I've always mentioned, and I mention it publicly during commentary and interviews and that sort of thing, is the deep analytical research on the past. I don't think that we have looked back and we understood that the players went through a process that made them world beaters. And I think that we have the misconception that because it's a modern society and the game has changed somewhat, we need to disintegrate the wisdom of the past. And it's sad because if you bring that team back now, it is going to beat every team in world cricket in any format of the game, including the T20 format. So we have to not only do the systemic research, but the individual research too is something that England does at Loughborough University and you know, other universities throughout the world. They research and they make their teams better based on the data and research. The other thing about monies coming into West Indies cricket, it is not only dependent on West Indies Cricket Board or CWI to bring monies into West Indies cricket. We have grounds throughout the region. We have facilities throughout the region. And the different boards must be creative as relates to you know, bringing in funds. I mean, in Trinidad, for example, during Carnival, the National Cricket Center can be used tremendously for different fests to bring in monies. And because we have this facility, it must be a coordinated effort between the different boards and the governments of the region. But I think that there's too much of a dependency syndrome on CWI to initiate things to bring in monies into West Indies cricket.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now, let's go to you, Dr. Shallow. So there is no possibility then of any cricket at all in the Caribbean by December? None at all?
I think it doesn't seem as though we are going to have any international cricket in the region.
What about regional? The end of the year. About regional?
Yeah, so I know there's a possibility of a tour later in November to New Zealand, and the CEO and his team are walking towards that. And even that is successful in terms of execution, then we will obviously, most of our players might be away. So it might probably be better off in terms of the level of competition for that for that Super 50 to have it later when the players return. And that might mostly be in January. So I think that we are looking at all in 2021 to have a regional tournament, and then that would be followed immediately by our 40 tournament.
So let's go to New Zealand, the possibility of New Zealand. Are you saying 50% chance, 60%, 70%, close to 100% that the West Indies team will be going to New Zealand?
Andrew, I know you have Johnny's contact, so you know, you can reach out to Johnny anytime. Maybe you have him on, maybe have him program next week where he should be able to give you a more accurate estimate or maybe even confirm something.
All right. Okay. Well, okay. Now, you know, we're going away all the time. The West Indies men went to England. The women are there, but nobody's coming to the Caribbean. And there's COVID in those countries.
Yeah, well, these are all scheduled. So we remember we were supposed to go to New Zealand prior to the World Cup as well.
Right.
So these were all planned series. You know, there's international fixtures out, and so we are really much just trying to honor those obligations from our end. And if we can probably turn to some extra cricket, then sure, why not? You know, but I mean, we have had just a CPL in the region, so it's not totally accurate to say we haven't had any cricket in Caribbean. And CPL by all means,
managed by the West Indies, cricket West Indies.
You should have probably stated, but I understand what you're saying. You know, and it would be great to have some cricket in the region. It's not normal for us to host international fixtures at this time of the year,
anyway, in
the Caribbean.
I see.
You know, so it's not unusual. But what we're hoping is that early next year, you know, whether it's in the first quarter or by the second quarter at least, we'll have some international cricket in the West Indies.
Doc, you're now coming just about a year and a half elections are due sometime next year. How you assessed your tenure so far as vice president? Of course, there was a great combination, Shallow and, of course, Kerrett. As you approach the next elections, are you happy with what you've done so far?
There have been quite a few challenges. Those we have relished. In my opinion, we have had some successes. We have mm-hmm. accomplished a few things that we had set out to do. But 2 years is quite mm-hmm. short. Mm-hmm. And rather than, I always seek to improve, Andrew. Mm-hmm. And I would prefer to listen to persons like yourself, Dr. Ford.
Well, Doc is on the line. Doc, I'm going to ask Doc a question, and I'm going to ask Tony Gray. Let's start with you, Doc.
Yeah.
Doc, have you given this administration a passing grade, Doc? Put your mic on.
If Dr. Ford says pass, then I'll accept that.
Right? let me hear you, Doc. Doc?
Yeah.
You want to think about it?
Had a hard 6 months with the five, 6 months with the COVID, but I would say that the things that are positives are from an administrative point of view, as you mentioned, the selection revamping, and also the new study that suggests that there should be changes in the structure. We'd have to wait for the execution, but at least we've been made aware, and mm-hmm. Cricket West Indies is more open to embracing those things. From the standpoint of trying to work on the revenue, I would say that we've been stalled a bit because the important matter of TV rights, I think we're one of the boards who haven't secured TV rights. I don't know if we have any bidders, and if we're to have cricket early next quarter, I think that is a very big aspect that needs to be sorted out, because that's how we get a lot of our revenue, since we won't be able to have full crowds in the stadium. So that's something that needs to be definitely worked on. We still have some of our sponsors, and we've continued with others. So the revenue base is something that we have to look at. I think the main deficiency has been from a communication and a finesse in sometimes getting through difficult periods and confrontational topics and that sort of thing. But as Dr. Shallow said, it's been a year and some, and I think once their hearts are in the right place and they keep working, I guess, and we're all trying to make Cricket West Indies better, then I can just wish them luck.
All right, Tony.
Andrew, does that sound like a pass mark from Dr.
Yeah, Ford? Yes. And when Doc can give you a pass mark, you're doing well, because, people say he's your biggest critic. Is that true, Doc?
No, man. Doc, like most of us, just want to see West Indies. All right. That's excellent.
Right. Now, Tony Gray.
What?
Tony, yes. Same question. I know you're in Santa Cruz. Have you given this administration a passing grade? Coming up to a year and a half now.
Yeah, definitely. Let me just say that sports administration is an intricate thing. It's not just about getting players on the field of play, being fit and that sort of thing. Mm. But it's about different things like, people management skills. You have to look at traveling arrangements, things like that. So it's very difficult and intricate. And that difficulty has been magnified by the nature of West Indies cricket. We have to understand that. And we have to understand that we need to put things in the right perspective when we're dealing with issues like administration. The fact is that this administration has been able to deal with a lot of negative pronouncements, a lot of issues that have curtailed not just West Indies cricket, but has put us in a bad light mm-hmm. with the rest of the world. And they have been able to deal it quite well. I love the fact that, initially the task force for improving the selection policy has been implemented, and they went through it in the right way, a process-oriented way that I love. I think that these are the things that, administrators need to do to improve the different sporting disciplines. A lot more work has to be done, and it's about re-education and further education of administrators, first of all, and then players and coaches. So a lot more work has to be done, and there must be, an effort to get the former players involved, but put them in strategic positions, positions of motivation. But I think that based on what I know about sports administration, very difficult, and the fact that we're dealing with a system that we are dealing with countries throughout the region, they have done a tremendous job, and especially in COVID-19. I mean, if you look at the CPL, they were part of it, and the organization of the CPL,
mm-hmm.
It was well run, and nobody had a problem with the COVID-19. So excellent work by this administration.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just saying that. I think that we must support them in whatever way
mm-hmm.
we can.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you, Tony Gray, for coming through and talking to us. I know that you're very busy there with your son. We wouldn't want to take up too much more of your time. By the way, are you in Santa Cruz?
Yeah, I'm in Santa Cruz.
Right. Stay in Santa Cruz, eh?
Zoom giving me some trouble, but that's okay.
Well, you know how it is with you in terms of Zoom, you know. you're a naughty man, Tony. Thanks for coming through and talking to us, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Take care, Tony.
All right. But Dr. Shallow, stay with us. We're going to certainly pause for business calls very soon. And, of course, your favorite Calypsonian red plastic bag is going to be joining us along with Ralph Thorne. But just before we go to the commercial break, just before we say good evening to you as well, two questions for you. Will you be running again for the elections coming up in March? March, I think it is. Yeah, schedule along with Skerritt, so we'd have Skerritt and Shallow again. And my final question to you before we go to the break: will you be supporting Dave Cameron for the post of ICC chairman? Talk to me about that, Dr. Shallow.
Well, it's quite interesting that you asked those two questions together, because what I was going to my response to the first question probably going to answer your second question.
Sure.
In that you asked if I'll be running for elections again, and my answer was simply that the important thing is to be nominated.
Oh, okay.
Right?
But I understand.
Without nominations, you can't be elected.
But I understand that your hand is being strengthened now significantly in the windwards.
Well, again, I would have to be nominated, and I would have to receive that nomination. Those two nominations,
right,
which again, like I said, it answers the second question,
right,
with regards to Dave Cameron, who doesn't seem to be able to secure a nomination.
Oh, there,
right.
Explain that to us.
No, I can't explain. He would have to come to you and explain on you. Has he ever made an appearance in your program up to this point?
No, he's never. He said he will never come on my show. I don't know why. Maybe Dr. Ford has told him not to come. That's terrible.
That's
absolutely terrible.
Yes,
he's never been on my show. That's bad. Very bad indeed.
Yes. You can't want to be original leader and don't want to appear on such original platform. International platform, actually.
Indeed. No, but so you're saying all that to say that you don't expect the West Indies to support Dave Cameron?
I mean, it's not my decision to make.
Right.
I have declared my position very early.
Right.
I was one of the first persons to declare that. Mm. I mean, individually, I would not be able to support Dave Cameron for his candidacy or his intent.
Why though?
I ran a campaign against Dave Cameron last year. He hasn't done anything since then to prove to me otherwise that he's capable of this start of leadership. I just do not have the confidence at this point that and if I were to say supports his nomination, it would be me saying that I have absolute confidence in him to represent West Indies. Not West Indies cricket, but the West Indians across the region and the world. I don't have that confidence in him right now. And that's my personal position.
No, Doc, I'm sure you've got something to say about that. Doc?
Well, I guess, luckily I'm a retired administrator, but I do appreciate Dr. Shallow's personal opinion. And I think it's very candid of him to articulate it. I just feel, even though that may be the case, that that since body and no one person speaks for the body and they all speak together and then come up with an answer, it would have been more delicate to just say that the board would decide in the long run based on...
So are you chastising Dr. Shallow then, Dr. Ford?
No, just saying that the styles are different. Different people, I guess, maybe I'm more diplomat. I'm more subtle.
there's a thin line between diplomacy and being honest, right and frank. Right. And I'm simply being frank with stakeholders. I've always promised to be frank and outspoken. And I'm just declaring my position. Dave Cameron knows my position. You know, so nothing is wrong with me sharing my position with the rest of the region and world.
They're stronger and weaker, and there are people who are strong and those who wilt and those who follow.
I think we all appreciate some honesty, though.
Honesty.
I think Dave Cameron would appreciate some honesty as well.
So, I see.
I'm sure in the time we'll see. Right. We'll see what happens. No matter what, someone will fill the post.
Right.
And some people will get nominations. You know, but we'll see how things go.
You know, Stetson Wilcher is waiting. Stetson, we're going to get to you very shortly. Final question to you, Doctor Shallow. You know, Dave Cameron wants the audit report, and he says he's going to be going to court if you didn't give it to him. Has he gotten that report from Cricket West Indies?
That's a legal matter, Andrew. I think he made a request for it, and our lawyers have since advised us not to share it.
Okay. All right. I see.
You know, but before, because I think I'm going to leave now, right, Andrew?
Sure. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let me just wrap up, though. I mean, when you asked the questions of both Dr. Ford and Tony Gray a while ago, I mean, and they pretty much, you know, hit the nail on its head day in terms of summing up, you know, the last year plus of President Ricky Skerritt and myself in terms of our tenure. You see, the administration, sports administration in the region is a continuous challenge, you know, and I think, you know, once you appreciate that, I think the key thing I believe is passion. Mm-hmm. And what I'm truly impressed by is that, you know, Ricky, the same level of passion he had 1.5 years or so ago when we decided to embark on this journey, he still has that passion, and probably even more now, because we have actually realized that there are even more things to fix, you know, more improvement necessary than what we envisioned then, you know. So I'm quite happy of the passion still and the determination to continue this mission to improve West Indies cricket, because I mean, and if you're looking at some of I'll just highlight a couple of the things that I'm really pleased about so far. You know, when we look at starting in March last year, how stakeholders came up publicly and spoke about the administration of West Indies cricket, the administrators. I mean, compared then to now with prime ministers coming out and sounding so positive about cricket again, and players making themselves available for West Indies cricket again, that is exactly what we wanted. You know, I mean, even if you look at the CPL this year, you can probably check for the last maybe decade since the CPL started. This is the most you've seen in terms of broadcast from Cricket West Indies for CPL. So you're seeing what we are trying to achieve now is a sense of partnership, because this is our product, this is our players and Shohei, and we need to push, you know, our players in whatever, you know, whatever opportunity, whatever platform they are. So, I mean, we realize and we appreciate the challenges that exist for West Indies cricket, but we are 100% committed to ensure that we, you know, we pool our resources together. We get all our stakeholders together, and we try to improve Cricket West Indies together.
All right. Well, Dr. Kishore Shah, I want to thank you.
Just a minute, just a comment. I know it's a legal matter. I don't expect a response, but it's interesting that an assessment and a report is written which involves an individual, and I assume that they will be consulted during that process since they're part of a report. But, you know, it's interesting that that some people can get it accidentally, but an individual who is mentioned in such an important way within the report isn't privy to it. I think it's a matter of natural justice, but I'm not a lawyer, but I'm just saying someone is a part of a process of assessment, and we have to ask, was the person consulted? And then secondly, what's the fear of them seeing the results of consultation and assessment and number crunching? But I mean, that's just a comment. But I it was a pleasure speaking to you, Dr. Shallow.
Andrew, what I would say before I leave is that I like this whole Zoom, you know, link up that I can see Dr. Ford smiling every time he speaks, you know. So this is the next time I'm going to come on with my camera as well.
Oh, please do that.
Man.
All right. Well, Dr. Shallow, I want to thank you for coming through and talking to us. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thanks. I'll be listening to the program, Andrew.
I know. Thank you very much. A very big supporter of Mason and guests. When we come back, we're going to be talking to a man born and bred in Bayfield country, of course, Stetson Wiltshire cousin. And of course, he's got Ralph Thorne, who's going to be the MP for Sin for Christchurch South for about 25 years to come. No doubt about that. We're going to be talking cricket when we come back. But of course, we're going to pause for a business cause. Mason and Guest is brought to an association with our very good friends at Barbados Lottery, promoting youth sport and culture.
When the double draw, you're playing with the mega ball. If tripling, you can triple your winnings. Just for one more dollar, you can play from a spot one right up to a spot six. Then you wager another dollar, and that's how you mega ball it. Bronze mega ball,
30,000.
Silver mega ball,
40,000.
Gold mega ball,
50,000.
More and more and more, you're winning. Put down another dollar, and when you win, you holler. That's how you triple it. Bid the mega ball.
Make your winnings even bigger. Call for the mega ball today. Promotion ends August 8th, 2020.
What a way to introduce Dr. Stetson Wiltshire, a Bayfield man. Hello, Stetson. How are you, my friend?
Good evening, Andrew. How are you?
I'm okay. Well, we had to play that song. Larry Mears, one of your big supporters, said that song is about, 20 years old or even more?
Even more, actually. That song was done in 1994, I think it was.
1994, that's a long time. That's before Dr. Andrew Ford was born. So that's No, talk to me, Red Plastic Bag. Of course, it's really good to hear from you, cultural ambassador, and of course, the patron of the Red Foundation. Lots of things are going to be happening next Sunday, and I like the concept, it takes a village. Explain to us what is going to be happening at the Dover Sports Complex next Sunday.
Well, Andrew, I have partnered with Ralph Thorne, QC. I have to put on QC every single time. Here in the Christchurch area, of course, you know, COVID-19 has had a, a devastating impact on the world. And here in Barbados, we are doing all that we can to help those who are, you know, mostly affected by it. You know, some of us are able to fight it through, but many people are struggling. And what we're hoping to do is to help, especially the area of school children, trying to get school supplies for some children to go back into school. So we decided to set up an event, a family evening at Dover. This is the 27th, with this Sunday coming, where we're going to have a whole lot of activities going on. And by the way, we are following strict protocols and guidelines for COVID. But we are making sure that we have an evening of entertainment. But at the same time, we're encouraging people to come out. We're going to have barrels set up so that people can actually make donations of school supplies to this effort. Mm-hmm. And I'm very, very excited about it. I'm happy to partner with QC Thorne. I think our hearts are in the right place with regards to trying to help ourselves. We cannot expect government to do everything. I think that this is a time when we have to be our brother's keeper. And it's very important that we put our hands to the plow and try to help our children.
Mm. Well, you got I almost said Dr. Thorne, but that's going to be next, of course. By the way, Ralph Thorne QC,
yes, Andrew.
You were absolutely brilliant in the House of Assembly today. In fact, I can tell you, I can tell you that many people at my office, they were saying that, I mean, they just put their lunch away and listened to you for half an hour more. I mean, and you spoke about a great man and a man who was very much involved in cricket, the late, great Owen C.
Rafa. I'm sorry that I spoiled people's food, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. Nice indeed. I love the motto, Ralph. It takes a village. Explain that.
Yeah, no, that is Stetson's motto.
Oh, it is.
I love it. Mm. I absolutely love it. It is so apt and appropriate at a time like this, when, as Stetson said, we can't always turn to government for everything, and government's resources are always limited. And I didn't want to say in decline, but they're always limited. And so Stetson's motto is, it takes a village. And my position is that we in Barbados need to constitute ourselves as a village again, a very large village, and to help those who are helpless. Mm-hmm. And I'm absolutely delighted, Andrew, to be doing this with your first cousin.
Yes, yes, indeed, a Bayfield man.
And just by way of information, I want to tell you that we've actually started collections already.
Okay.
We have a collection barrel at Cloisters in Sheraton. And a wonderful lady, I don't know if she'd give me permission to call her name, but a wonderful lady has gone there. She's filled the barrel already.
Oh, okay.
So it may mean that we probably have to replace that barrel tomorrow, mm-hmm. Create some space in it so that the children of this country can be looked after. I always say the two most vulnerable groups in Barbados are the very old who have paid their dues and the very young who didn't ask to be here. We brought them here. Mm-hmm. So it is our duty to look after them. And I'm absolutely delighted to partner with Stetson in this effort to look after our little children.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Ford.
Yeah, good everyone. Well, it's interesting that you guys chose to give educational some educational help to the youngsters, seeing the importance of sports and cricket and putting it together and helping them out. Are there any plans to go to corporate Barbados, or how many other ways are you going to be recruiting assistance for the youngsters?
Yeah, well, we are hoping that corporate Barbados they answer the call, so to speak, and give us some support. But we have been reaching out to some of them for support. By the way, we are not going to stop here. I think that we're going to continue to work with regards to helping the children. The whole evening itself, though, I hold steadfast to the belief that social activity can help to kickstart any country that is affected like this. And this is why I've always said that the creative industries and sport, they play a vital role in developing social cohesion, which goes a long way in helping psychological well-being. And I think it's very important that we have these things going on. I mean, yes, we have to follow strict guidelines and protocols, and we intend to do that. but we need to bring the thinking of people in one common place with in one common focus, so that people can feel as if they're not alone, as if they're part of something bigger. And that helps their psychological well-being, which I think is extremely important at times like this. And it's an absolute pleasure to work with Thorne. We all know that Thorne is a good man. I know that he wants to play cricket, and I said that I had to get that, and he wants to play cricket. But I don't know about him. I know about him as a politician. I know about him as a QC, a very good QC, by the way.
Yes, yes.
Very good lawyer, by the way. I want to thank for helping St. Catharines over the years.
My pleasure.
Right? But Thorne wants to play cricket. And I have a team. I have a team that comprises of Ian Bradshaw. Mm. I have Floyd River.
I can't believe that Spencer called Ian Bradshaw's name first.
Listen, I have a team, you know. I have a team that we go around Barbados playing with, and he wants to steal Ian Bradshaw from me.
Ian is my
on-field captain.
Yes.
And but we have a very strong team. We have Derek Bishop. We have Oliver Batson. I don't want to call all my players. Mm. They threw together some players. They want to bring back Tino Best.
Yes.
I mean, they're looking scarce with names. What is this? But I think that we are going to have a good evening. I think that our team is a good team. But that is not what is most important. We want to create a lovely atmosphere at the game, so that we can bring the thinking of the people into one space whilst we try to help ourselves.
Yes.
Actually, we also have road tennis going on as well in the evening.
Right.
We have, before the game, we have Gabby and we have Mikey and TC, Mr. Dale, and all these people who are actually, and Admiral is actually going to be coming as well.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who are just going to come and play some exhibition games before the cricket. But we are looking to have a lovely evening where we're going to create an atmosphere where people can actually come and give us the level of support that we need. We have to try to help ourselves, Andrew.
Yes,
Andrew, we're doing a basketball shoot-off competition.
Mm-hmm.
I can say publicly that Mr. Ronald Chapman of the COVID unit was a little concerned that he would not allow us to play a basketball game, but he allowed it when I assured him that it is a shoot-off competition.
Okay.
So that the person who comes and can score the most mm-hmm. shots consecutively, he or she will win that competition.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking to have a real fun evening with the entertainers in Barbados and some politicians as well. Dwight Sutton told me this evening he's definitely coming. He's definitely coming to beat Mr. Stetson Wiltshire in road tennis. Andrew, are we going to see you, by the way?
Yes, yeah, of course I'll be there. Of course I'll be there. I'm going to be very much there as well.
How about the other Andrew?
Well, you know, he's
a distinguished Andrew.
In my way, I'm sure I could make a contribution. But I'm interested in what was the catalyst or the stimulus for this response from you and talking us how it came about.
Look, Stetson is pointing at me, but the Lord must have put us together. I don't know how religious Stetson is. But look, that's Providence. Providence brought us together on this, and we're approaching it with equal enthusiasm. As I said before, I absolutely love Stetson's motto, it takes a village. Stetson referred to corporate Barbados. We see corporate Barbados as part of the village, by the way. They're people like anybody else. They just happen to have a lot more resources. So we want the entire Barbadian community, corporate and individual, to come together, constitute ourselves as a village, and let us help each other out of this crisis. There's still a lot of resources going around Barbados. The problem is that they're individually located. And if we bring them into a collective whole, we can save a lot of people. And no one in this country wants to see a child unhappy. Not one child should be unhappy in this country after Sunday.
Right. We are looking to get as much as we can, Andrew. So you need to continue to help us to promote this. I know you have a big following.
Mm.
So just send this information out to your big following and let them know that we need all the support we can get.
Mm.
And when I mentioned earlier about the social cohesion, I want to say thanks to all the Barbados, the players from the Barbados Tridents who are going to be involved in this. Because they have a role to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there was a lot of talk recently about West Indies tour to England and the value of it. I don't think you can put a dollar figure on the value of West Indies having gone to England.
Yeah.
Right? Do you understand what that did for the cricket world? The fact that we couldn't watch cricket for all these months, and we were able to watch Test cricket live. You cannot put a price tag on things like this. So even if we didn't get all that we should get from it, in terms of dollars, we have actually contributed significantly to the well-being, the psychological well-being of the cricket world.
Interesting.
Andrew, you have another, as Bruce used to call, another friendly cousin of yours here.
Who's
Alf? And Alf wants to
show Alf! Hello, Alf!
Yes.
How are you, my friend?
Hello, Andrew Mason. How are you doing?
First of all, tell you that Dwayne Smith is on our team.
Oh, Dwayne Smith.
He isn't enjoying that fact, but Dwayne Smith will be there.
Is he training? Dwayne Smith, is he training?
Thank you, Andrew, because you're concerned about the girth.
Yes.
The girth and the frontal view.
I am blubbering as Dwayne's lawyer, by the way.
But Floyd Reefer is on our team.
Floyd Lamont. Lamont Reefer.
Yes. We are not revealing anybody else. I just let you know that because the QC is very concerned.
He is. Okay. What I'll do, stay with us. We're going to open the lines because I'm sure many people will want to participate in this wonderful, wonderful evening here with you,
Andrew,
gentlemen. 4241790. Give us a call and you can certainly speak to Ralph Thorne, QC MP. Of course, Stetson Wiltshire. Dr. Stetson Wiltshire, and of course our good friend Alf, and also join us. The BCA is going to be very much watching what's going on. Stephen Leslie, Director of Cricket, is going to comment very soon. So you can call us at 4341790. We're going to pause for business calls. When we come back, we'll open the lines and hear from you. Mason and Guest is brought to you in association with the very good friends at Barbados Lottery, promoting youth sport and culture.
When the double draw, you're playing with the mega ball. It's tripling, you can triple your winnings. Just for one more dollar, you can play from a spot one right up to a spot six. Then you wager another dollar, and that's how you mega ball it. Bronze mega ball,
30,000.
Silver mega ball,
40,000.
Gold mega ball,
50,000.
More and more and more you're winning. Put down another dollar, and when you win, you holler. That's how you triple it.
Make your winnings even bigger. Call for the Mega Ball today. Promotion ends August 8th, 2020.
All right, let's go straight to the telephones. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest. Hello, welcome. You're listening to the radio. Come on, talk to us.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good Andrew. Afternoon to you. How are you?
How are you?
Is this Straker's Tenantry?
It most certainly is.
Well, I imagine you would want to speak to Ralph Thorne.
I must say that I must consider this a very good evening.
Because
I've been trying to get you from the time the West Indies picked their squad to go to England. So I want to speak to you on that.
Yes.
And I want to also speak to Phil Wallace, because I see something in the paper recently with him.
Right.
So we can hold the totals for now.
Right.
But I must say this venture by Ralph Thorne and Red. Stetson Wiltshire, I must say, I can also give it my blessing. I think it's a very good idea. And charity begins at home.
Right.
But I can leave that there. Now, I hear you was asking.
Just to tell him, Andrew, we have bins at Cloisters in Sheraton and in the Oystens Fish Market.
Oh, wonderful.
If he wants to make a contribution.
Ralph.
Amigo.
Ralph, I want to make also a suggestion to you. Put a bin in Strickland's Tenantry.
we can leave that there, Andrew.
Yes.
We can leave that right there. No, Andrew, I told you that I've been trying to get you.
Yes.
The West Indies picked their squad to England.
No.
First, let me deal with two quick things that you brought up earlier. You was asking for a score that somebody can give the West Indies a rating.
Right.
Well, I would give them an F.
F.
And you know, F is always a fail.
Not good.
Right? Now, I'm going to show you why. You even asked Dr. Shallow there about a leaked document. And he don't even think that the person involved should get one, but it is leaked. So that you got to get a feeling for that. To have documents, security documents that they're leaking. But we can take a look at, you know, earlier in the year, the West Indies was giving out some contracts, international, ABC, and whatever. You will know them better than me. But one of the criteria for getting a contract, you could remember what it was?
There's several.
I'm speaking about Deron, Andrew, and we discussed that.
Right.
Deron, forgetting the contract, was passing a yo-yo
test. Yeah, okay. Fitness,
and,
of course.
And some younger players fail it. Do you know if they reset it and pass?
No.
You don't. So you don't think that it was important of you to speak it out and let us call it out here, no?
Yes. But that's
a failing grade for you there,
okay.
Now, too.
But Strikers Tennessee, listen, this is an evening now for Stetson Wiltshire and, of course, Ralph Thorne. I want our callers to concentrate on that. So perhaps you can call me again next week and we can discuss that. But we're going to try and keep them short and sweet. We want to promote this event come Sunday.
Before we go, Andrew,
yes.
Let me say what you want to say to you.
Yes, sure.
Now, this program have wasted the test of time
because
of its callers.
Right.
You have taken the program in the direction of you calling big cats.
Right.
Well, they want you to either split the program in two, where you get half of the big cats and half of the small cats.
Right.
Or get a second evening.
Right. Okay.
Where you can get one for the big cats and one for the small cats. You could call the big cats.
Right.
And the small cats like me can call you.
All right. No problem. Thanks for your contribution. Let's talk to Stetson Wiltshire. Let's talk to Ralph Thorne and Alf. And, of course, you're waiting in the wings to make a comment very soon is Stephen Leslie. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Hello. Peace be unto you, Mr. Mason. Never dull moment, always inquisitive. And to your distinguished guest.
Yes.
My mother, God rest her in her grave, loved red plastic. By one time, she went to a show.
Yes.
And she had on all red and this big red boring hat. And the MC teller, man, I know you love red plastic, but take off that hat that everybody could see down the back, man.
Wonderful.
Anyway,
Are you going to Dover on Sunday?
I'm not going to Dover, but I will give my contribution
as
I always do, and I want to say to these two gentlemen and all who came up with that a very good gesture. Unity is strength.
Right.
We all need to join hands and help each other. I do my little bit in my little poorness, whatever I have a choice to share with those who are around me and those who I can help. So it's very good, and I hope that it will grow from strength to strength.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your contribution. The BCA Stephen Leslie is with us. Stephen, you must be quite a happy man about this. The BCA is watching.
Hi, good night, Andrew. I believe that not only is a very noble gesture, but I would encourage the organizers to utilize the day before, which is the Saturday. And as you would know, we have a local T20 tournament that's going to be played all over the island. And I believe that if they can consider coming to some of those venues to actually have some donations made for those spectators who go around the island and watch these games, it would be useful to contribute to what they're already doing. But again, highly commend what has been done by Red Plastic Bike, by QC Ralph Thorne, by Alpha, all the other team members that are pulling it together. But I would suggest that you also utilize those venues that are available leading into that event on Sunday.
Stetson, is that something you consider?
Yes, it's something that we can consider, and we'll look at the logistics of it. And you're reminding everyone that we are starting around 3 o'clock on Sunday with the road tennis.
Okay.
It's a celebrity road tennis because you have the females like TC, Crystal Cummins Beckles. Those are playing. And in the male, of course, you heard about Gabby playing against Mr. Dale, against D2, against Ian Hoggett. They are all playing. Yes. And then you have something called a slugfest, a 20-ball slugfest.
Okay.
Where a Dwight Sutherland will take five players and Admiral Nelson will take five.
Mm-hmm.
And they will see who can score the most runs in 20 balls.
Right.
And then at 6:30, we're going to have these tests in Wiltshire 11 against the Ralph Thorne 11.
Oh, that should be wonderful. What are you doing, Alf? Are you going to be playing?
Well, you see, I...
That's a very...
I'm in Mr. Wiltshire's team.
Okay.
Squad. I'm in Mr. Wiltshire's squad.
Yeah, squad, yes.
However, with our secret weapon back in the island, I've agreed that I will take up the microphone and do some commentary. Okay. You know, Mr. Wilshere begged me to play, but I'm going to give away to our superstar.
Pedro Agard is also yes. a commentator.
Andrew, you're going to pass through to join and help us?
Well, I'm very upset because no one has asked me to do commentaries. Have I been fired and demoted? I don't understand that.
In the mail. Oh, my golly. In the mail.
It's in the mail. Okay. Okay, well,
you should get out tomorrow.
Yes, indeed.
Well, I just got a text from the postman, and he said that he felt ill today, so he should be delivered tomorrow.
Yes, and it's going to be in my new mailbox, you know, because I put in one recently. Very, very lovely.
So the entry fee is stationary.
Oh,
bring your sharpeners, your geometry set.
Yes.
Bring your rulers.
Yes.
Bring your books, your dictionaries. Yeah, that's the
interview. Should be wonderful. I think we got another call in the line. Can we take 4341790? You can certainly participate in the program as well. But Dr. Ford, this is wonderful, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Is there also an account that individuals can make contributions to? I don't know if that's also a part of it because there's some people may not want to make a physical contribution, but may be savvy with their phones and able to make electronic as well.
Yes, we are. That is something that we decided only late that we are going to do in terms
Ooh,
of
wonderful.
But we have an account. We actually have an account, which is the Red Foundation's account, that will be made available as well.
Oh, wonderful. Well, this is absolutely wonderful. 4341790, certainly give us a call and participate in this. So you're expecting a very big crowd, Ralph Thorne.
Yes, with the quality of people we have, certainly the celebrities from the entertainment, the area of entertainment, Mr. Dale. And look, they're not only entertainers because Dale played center forward football for Barbados. I think Dale may have played table tennis for Barbados as well.
Yeah, table tennis, very good table tennis.
Yes, you have some pretty good sports people who are disguising themselves as entertainers.
Yabby as well, who Yabby, is a national champion in table tennis. So we have quite a few people who are entertainers who actually played sport. Mm-hmm. So this is a situation where entertainment and sport actually coming together to create the right atmosphere to get our people to come out and support the cause. And we, as I said earlier, we're going to be sticking to strict guidelines and protocols. We're making sure that we have sanitizing stations around so that people can be comfortable knowing that they're
going to
be safe at Dover.
Mm. Well, I'm not going to keep you too much longer because I know that you are in a strategic meeting there with my very good. Is Aki Donovan still around? Or he's gone home to have his coffee.
He is around, but he's on the telephone. He's taking lots of calls in relation to this project.
Oh yes, and what a wonderful when you talk about the village, Ralph Thorne. You talk about someone like Aki Donovan.
Oh, yeah. Look, one of the players, Adrian, called somebody last week to join, I think, our team or Stetson's team.
Mm.
And he said, Adrian, as long as you're involved, I'm there.
Mm. He's an excellent organizer. Yeah, and I'm happy to have him. Very happy to have him on board.
Indeed.
You know?
Indeed. And Adrian brings 36 years of sports administration to this. So Adrian knows two or three generations of cricketers personally.
Oh,
That's why our team is overflowing with such talent.
Yes, yes.
Much to Stetson's chagrin.
Yeah. By the way, this support that we're asking for is not just for one. There's nothing political about this. It's not for one constituency.
Correct.
This is for Christchurch. We're doing this for Christchurch.
Oh, yeah, wonderful.
We recognize that we need to do this for Christchurch. We are looking that as time goes on, we're going to move around the country.
Correct.
And merge entertainment with sport so that we can help ourselves to create the atmosphere so that people can actually donate as much as they possibly can to help the most vulnerable here in this country.
Mm-hmm. Doc, final question. These gentlemen have got to go back and plan. Any final question from you?
Well, guys, is this going to be it or is this going to be going on post-COVID?
Mm.
Yes, post-COVID. Mr. Wilshere, Dr. Wilshere would have done this in St. Andrew before. He would have done this with the Child Care Board before. And after this one, we hope to take it to a number of different parishes as well because we realize that with unemployment going close to 40%, we would want to help the vulnerable in our communities. So yes, the Red Foundation is keen. QC Ralph Turner has said that don't care where we go in Barbados, he's coming as well. Because he wants to be on the winning team too. So we understand that, fellas. He wants to be on the winning team.
but Andrew, I with the Red Foundation, I have a program called the Bike Program, which is about school material.
Wonderful.
Well. And the Red Foundation is also we have been at the forefront of coordinating the effort out of the effort within the diaspora. We've been working with tablets, making sure that children get tablets, and our bike program on the It Takes a Village with the Red Foundation, we've been giving full backpacks for the last 2 years.
Oh, wonderful.
To children across Barbados. So Christchurch will benefit from this now, along with what we will get from other people. Hopefully we will get a lot so that we can make sure that this whole Christchurch here is looked after during this period.
Yeah. Andrew, I want to give a plug for the Commission on Local Governance. I see this exercise as a precursor to what local government can do in Barbados. And as you know, one of our proposals for a new system of local government is that it should be nonpartisan.
Yes.
Because we feel that people in Barbados need to come together without the polarization of parties at the local level. And I see this as a precursor to a new movement in Barbados in which people genuinely come together to help their local communities. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't think of a better way to start it with people involved in sports, people involved in entertainment. As you know, look, you meet people every day, and sometimes it's a little awkward. Is he a B? Is he a D?
Mm.
I think the time for that really.
We need now to forget letters of the alphabet.
Precisely.
I like that one.
Human suffering doesn't know the letters of the alphabet. It doesn't know constituency boundaries. Human suffering is simply that, human suffering. We want to eradicate it from Barbados.
Mm.
We speak of poverty as if it is some romantic idea, but poverty is about human suffering.
It's about human suffering.
It's about human suffering. And we have a duty,
yeah.
All of us, all Barbados. Yeah. And I want to say this publicly, Andrew. I want to say this publicly, Stetson, that I don't think Stetson is taking this across Barbados as a partisan political project.
No.
I happen to absolutely love community work. Stetson and Carl, they absolutely love community work. Adrian Donovan loves community work. And we are inviting and encouraging all people and who love their communities to get involved with Red Foundation as they move across Barbados.
Mm-hmm. It's important that we help each other, Andrew.
Indeed.
We expect your support.
Yes.
You and Dr. Ford, we expect that you know, you can...
Well, gentlemen... Gentlemen, yeah.
Along with Stephen, I know Stephen yes. for a long time. Stephen's a community man himself, and love to see people moving forward. So I'm sure that you'll do all you can, Stephen,
yes.
to help us in this regard.
Do you play tennis?
Yeah. Oh, I play tennis in the road.
You play tennis in the road, so we're gonna put you to play against Ian Hoggett Allen.
Oh no!
Starts around 3.
I want you to bring in Cornwall from Antigua to play against him.
you gentlemen have got my 100% support, and I would also.
Yeah, right.
Hope that once we get past this initial activity on Sunday, that it really continues well beyond what we do at Dover. And I will make every effort to be there and try to mobilize what I can to be part
Stephen,
of that
I don't
success.
Like the sound of that. I'm going to make every effort to be there. You know what that means in Barbados.
But I'm well learned from the QC. And you give yourself the opportunity if you're absent.
That's cool.
But of course, our good friend Stephen may be passing through St. Michael West before he comes to Christchurch. Hey. So,
Stephen.
There was a breeze that blew through in October 2019, so I'll continue being there despite that breeze that blew last year.
There's a gentleman in the studios, gentlemen, that wants to speak to Ralph Thorne. Hello, my friend.
Yes, sir, Mr. Ralph Thorne. Good evening to you. Good evening, Greg. Good evening, all. I was just remarking to Andrew that you have a wonderful book. Is it still in publication?
That's which book is that?
That right. your story.
Oh, you know that.
Your story.
Yes. I have a few copies. If you call me tomorrow, I can arrange one for you.
Marvelous. And Red Plastic
I
Bag.
Have, I when, had some hidden.
When will we get Red Plastic Bag's life story in print?
Well, yeah, we have Gabby's.
Actually, I have
a discography written by Elizabeth Watson.
That's correct.
I'm actually doing a lot by doing my life story, an autobiography that I'm actually working on now. So hopefully we can get up pretty soon.
Marcus, you heard it here for the first time.
That's right. Yes. Gabby has who Gabby think he is. I have that, and I'm looking forward to getting the bags. Yeah. You know, awesome.
That's a lovely book, by the way.
Brilliant. It should be required reading. It should be on the curriculum in our schools, actually.
Big statement made by Ronnie Clark. Gentlemen, it has been an absolute pleasure. Stetson Wilcher, good to see you. And of course, you know, we spoke recently about Bayfield when I made that presentation
at
St. Catherine's School.
Yes.
We got some work to do. Lovely little girl up at Bayfield. We looked after her. We looked after someone in Lyders Hill. So we could be playing our part. Of course, in St. Philip Barbados' best parish by far.
Of course.
All right.
Of course.
Thanks to you, Stetson Wilcher.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed. Ralph Thorne, QC MP. And thanks, of course, to Ocky Donovan in the background. And, of course, Alf, a good man. Very good man indeed. And
thank you.
We also want to thank you for coming through and talking to us amazing guests. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Good evening all.
All right. Now, let's turn, of course, our attention to the BCA corner. We've got our very good friend, Stephen Leslie, Director of Cricket. Stephen, at an interesting stage in the competition, we're coming up now to Series 7.
Yeah, I was teasing a colleague of mine earlier tonight. You call it the BCA corner, appropriately called. In terms of when we do link up and discuss this cricket, it's vital to let Bajans know in your program, as you said, Andrew, that we are having an exciting former T20 cricket being played all over the island. But tonight, if you permit me,
sure,
we are also restarting very shortly the Sir Everton Weeks Centre of Excellence. That is going to be exposing the best talent in Barbados on the 13, on the 15, on the 17, and on the 19s. We also have an under 23 group and the females, and they will resume their training at Kensington Oval on the 5th of October. And Andrew, while we are preparing to try to expose the most talented cricketers that we have in those different groups, we had a meeting initially tonight with the parents of the under 19 group. And if you see the energy and the support and the determination to get the best for their children, I think that's why we in Barbados continue to be able to execute so well. And sometimes we take it for granted because, I mean, we had Sir Garfield Sobers as the most excellent Sir Gary Sobers in terms of being the best all-round of all time. And we've had a host of other tremendous cricketers. But this center of excellence and the support from the parents and those guardians, it is really tremendous. And I want Barbados to understand that while we are probably the only island in the Caribbean having organized cricket, for us to still be able to execute our developmental program in this environment is something that we take very seriously at the BCA. The board of directors remain committed to getting these persons in the best, you know, we don't even know when the next CWI regional tournament we play at, Andrew, but we want them to be equipped and ready and be able to be honing their skills so that when and if we have West Indies Cricket Board and the other entities coming back in to telling us where we're going to play, we are going to be ready. And we have the success of our youth teams in recent years, which has really been tremendous. And I want everyone to be aware that the Centre of Excellence resumes here at Kensington Monday to Friday from October 5th.
Wonderful.
But on the local level.
Yes.
We're going to the 7th series, Andrew. 7th series of cricket of a potential 9 series. And we have a tremendous grouping where the top 4 from each zone will be going forward, as you are aware, to the quarterfinals. And what we have now is the return of the CPL cricketers.
Oh.
Last Saturday, the rain fell, and most of the games, I think barring 3, were affected. But if we get good weather, Andrew, this weekend, we are going to have the likes of Ashley Nurse, Carlos Braffitt, you could call them, Jason Holder.
Oh, wonderful.
Most of these guys are going to be available to play for their clubs.
Kyle
Mears. And I think it's going to really be Kyle Mears, you can call them. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of these guys play their trade. Jonathan Carter,
yes,
right around.
Yes.
They were part of the CPL, and now they are part of our local cricket.
Right.
So I think that if an individual has the opportunity, they should be really packing their picnic baskets and going out to these different venues come Saturday. All matches start at 1:30, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
And from the logistical standpoint, we continue to say that we've been doing quite well in terms of the COVID-19 protocols and the environment that we're functioning. We again want to commend those clubs and those authorities for the efforts they're making. Let's get through this 2020 season, Andrew, with a situation where we get good cricket on the field and everybody plays it in a safe environment.
Well, I want to thank you for coming through and talking to us. Always a pleasure, of course, the BCA Corner. We're going to have you again next week. And you know they say that Mason and Guest, we don't talk local cricket. But that's an absolute joke, really. In fact, we've spent a lot of time in recent times talking about local cricket, and we are very happy to have you, Stephen Leslie, doing a wonderful job. So, Stephen, so 1:30, of course, getting down to the business end of it now. Teams are looking to qualify for the quarterfinals.
Yeah, it's the business end. And I mean, the defending champions, Carlton, continue to do well. Gladiola has been consistent, having
top of the class.
Top of the class.
Like TKR.
And what we want. Well, you're making a prediction so Andrew. Remember, I said it's the boosting of players. Yes. I mean, when you look at Carlton's team, for example,
they have
at least four players that are going to be coming in. Gladiola is boosted by a couple. And then you've got other clubs, Yorkshire, the Barbados Youth. I'll say this, Barbados Youth A have done quite well this season.
Right.
The Youth B have also been competing. And we want a situation where the most talented players get to express themselves. And we're getting that from the BCA T20 tournament every weekend.
Through. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Good night, Mr. Mason.
Good night to you.
Alvin speaking.
Alvin, how are you, my friend? So we had Strakers Tenetry and we had Alvin. What a combination.
You don't need to be no for a joke, you know. It is that.
Why is that?
I got to thank Ray Bassett by and Mr. Thorne that we could get, Bajans could get back on your program. This is my belief. Well,
that's not
wrong.
True. Bajans have been in this program for quite a while. I don't know where you're going with that.
I'd love to hear Randall. I would like to hear.
Well, I haven't heard him in a while. How is he, though? Is he okay? You know, he'll give me a call at the office.
I'd only hear him when he's on your show.
Well, I thought that you and Randall and of course, Strikers Tenetry would talk every day as DLP people.
People got their beliefs. But let me get to my point, because Randall might be there waiting to get in. Mr. Mason, you can help me with what's going on investing in cricket. But being an empire man, that's why I want to hear Randall.
Oh, you're an empire man?
Yeah, all my life.
Oh. Somebody told me you were a Spartan man.
No, empire man. But I got to ask you this question.
Yes.
36 runs to win.
Yes.
In 5 overs.
Mm.
And 10 wickets in hand.
Yes.
And get beat?
Yes.
You know that game?
I remember that game very well. I mean, it's unbelievable.
No, I'm saying this, Mr. Mason. Because I listen to you all the time and I blame your program for a lot of things in West cricket. I wouldn't debate it now.
You blame my program?
Of course.
Why would you say that, Alvin?
No, because I'm a truthful person.
No.
Okay?
Hmm.
Now,
It didn't answer the question, but that's okay.
When we had a bad president.
Yes.
We win 3 World Cups.
Yes.
We beat England 2-1.
Right.
Over 100 cricketers start receiving a check monthly. Are you going right or are you wrong?
Yeah, you're doing well. You're doing well.
We had a man, a gentleman that is respected. Oh, Lord, he's back and he's great. Walk off of a cricket field, like as he was playing cricket in Grosvenor's Road, a bit the glass, Clark ground.
Oh, dear.
And he is welcome back and appreciated.
Oh, dear.
But Cameron, a man that was a president for 6 years,
right,
is being belittled.
Oh.
And I hear you earlier saying he wouldn't come on your show.
Yes, I don't know why.
No, but if it was Cameron, I wouldn't come either.
Why?
We would talk about it another night.
All right.
I won't have the fear get in.
All
right. But what I'm saying this here, I think West Indian cricket need another bad president.
Oh, okay. Another bad president.
We've got a bad president.
President. And good results.
That Mitchell and Gonzalez
yes.
and Webster Andrew Mason and all them going after the West Indies cricket on the field performing. You have a good night.
Alvin, you're wonderful. And Alvin, I hope to hear you next Tuesday on Mason and Guest. Let's take another call. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Yes, good evening.
Oh, Randolph, where have you been?
Well, I wasn't going to call after you made the, to come back next week because you had a RPB, and I think they're doing a wonderful job.
Mm-hmm. And we know you're an RPB man.
Well, I'm a supporter.
I know Gabby that.
First. Mm. Gabby and him are tight for me, where the Calypsonians are concerned. Mm.
So is Gabby RPB or RPB Gabby for you?
Well, it doesn't matter as far
okay.
as I'm concerned.
Fair enough.
The two of them are good.
Very good.
Now, Empire had a little over seven runs to get.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's obvious that they should have gotten the runs, but
yes.
in that batting caused them not to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying better luck next time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm a little concerned, bemused about our West Indian situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we in the Caribbean are supposed to come together and be together, I find it really heart-wrenching that a West Indian will not get the support from West Indians to sit at the highest level of cricket in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't say that there are two people that are looking for the nomination. It's just one.
Right.
And despite of everything, I think the gentleman
deserves the support. Mm-hmm.
Because if someone else goes to the top and certain things happen,
right,
which would put us, you know, in a ticklish position.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have anybody ready to support us up there,
mm-hmm,
and I found it really, you know, heart-wrenching.
And based on what Dr. Shallow said this evening, it looks as if he wouldn't support him personally.
It didn't say that it is a Brazilian or somebody
it's a,
from
it's
Panama.
A West Indian. Yeah,
it's a West Indian.
Oh dear.
But if you look at it, a little from what Ping would say just now,
right,
we have been very poor in our cricket. And this is going to be my last point tonight. The women's cricket, the West Indies team, we have Saints, I almost called the wrong name, Saints Campbell was the batting coach of the women's team. The women's batting has faltered.
Yeah.
Why? We are bringing bits and pieces, bowlers, to be coaching. The West Indian women need a 1 to 5 good West Indian batsmen to coach them how to bat. The bowling isn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
The batting is where we have any problems.
Right.
And we have bowlers who might get a couple of runs when the West Indies are playing. They cannot be considered to coach batting. You need a batting coach for the West
Indies. Well, in fact, Randolph, just before we go, we've got an interview lined up with the lead selector. We're going to play a bit of that for you towards the end of the program. So you should listen out for her. She certainly offers some interesting thoughts. Thanks for your contribution. All right.
Andrew, if I may very quickly, I think the points made by Randolph were very interesting. But there are two realities. One is that we do not have in the Caribbean a consistency in organized cricket. And we're not talking COVID or anything. We're talking about the fact that our women, for example, when you get past Barbados, do not really consistently compete at the domestic level or in any form of competition. They get ready before they go for the national teams. And similarly, the point made about having a West Indian at the helm, that has its usefulness. Very much agree with persons who made that point. And no one can dispute having a Dave Cameron can be of value. But at the same time, we know that there are other dynamics that will play out.
Mm-hmm.
And the ICC eventually will have to make their determination. But Cricket West Indies will be, I believe, making the determination that they believe will make benefits for Cricket West Indies going forward. So points are made about Mr. Cameron, points are made about women's cricket. We have to collectively in the Caribbean get to a point where everyone is singing off the same hymn book. And I'm not 100% sure that any of the presidents thus far have been able to really get that through. We're doing our own little things. BCA continues to do a tremendous amount of work. But really, it's something that we should be all collectively working together to get the best of West Indies cricket.
Stephen, thanks very much indeed for coming through and talking to us. It's been an absolute pleasure. We'll see you again next week. All right, so there you have it, Director of Cricket Stephen Leslie. Let's take another call before we go to Anne Brown. Hello, welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Mason.
Good evening to you.
I want to say that Stetson Wilshire brought me here.
Oh, you did?
And then some comments made. And I want to ask you two questions, but I just want to commend the effort done to help our nation's youth. I think it's very commendable. And also, Mr. Ralph Thorn, he included local governance. And for a while, I wanted to speak to him on local governance, but now is not the time to discuss that. But however, he made some very wise comments in suggesting that the initiative is not partisan and that all people who... I live in Christchurch, and therefore it would apply to me even though I don't live in the constituency. But I want to ask you two questions, Mr. Mason.
Mm-hmm.
You travel throughout the region, right? And you would be better able to tell me if there has been a decline, a significant decline in support for West Indies cricket.
Oh, yes.
And I will also want to know, too,
what
can be done, because the women were doing well, but the quality of the women's cricket, and I know expert, left a lot to be desired to me, but they were doing reasonably well at a time when our cricket team, the West Indies cricket team and all males, were not doing so well. But as I said, they didn't look fantastic to me when I saw Australia and when I saw India and I saw Pakistan, but still we were still doing kind of better than the men.
They don't look fit. I must admit, caller, you know, it starts the basics, you know, fitness, that desire to win cricket in your blood. I don't know if that still exists anymore in Caribbean cricket, you know. I'm not sure about that. And I'll tell you, I mean, if you consistently lose, people then start to lose heart and faith. And I think this is what's happened in West Indies cricket. I mean, I've been traveling for quite a long time across the region, and still there's some hope that we may very well be able to come through and do well. But I'll tell you this, if you continue to consistently lose, people are going to lose faith, they're going to lose heart, and this is exactly what's happening. Hence, the numbers are dwindling, and dwindling significantly as well. They got to start winning again as well, you know, and bring the confidence back.
I want to ask you this. Does that affect our ability to pull matches here in the region?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. You just told me that the support has declined.
Well, the CPL. I mean, for the CPL, you're going to get the crowds. It's a different kind of cricket. But I mean, if you had to go to watch a regional game, say at Sabina Park, Trinidad against Jamaica, you got three or four people there. In Barbados, and if you look at certain countries in Barbados, you could still find at Kensington Oval on a Saturday afternoon 300 or 400 people watching cricket. Because Bajans, I mean, there's no doubt about it. I think they watch the most cricket in the region. That has been my experience. Somebody may say in Trinidad, that's not true. But, you know, even on Saturdays, I mean, I was down at Standard on Saturday watching my team, St. Catharines, play against Standard. And what was so amazing about that, a second division match, you know, the villagers came out to watch the game. You know, you had, of course, it's T20 cricket as well, and people were watching. So, yes, the Bajans will continue to watch the cricket, not in the same numbers, because there was a time when Jamaica played against Barbados with Michael Holden bowling to Carlisle Best at Kensington Oval was full. I've gone to Sabina Park already in the late 80s, early 90s, to see Michael Holden and you know, Patrick Patterson bowl, and Sabina Park almost full. That will not happen anymore. The support has declined significantly.
And you think it has anything to do with the younger generation, or just because we're not winning? It's because we're not winning.
I think a lot has to do with the fact that we're not winning. I mean, and we've not been winning consistently. I mean, in fact, when you look at West Indies cricket, you know, I think the decline of West Indies cricket started back in 1988. Now, you may think that that's a long time, but I saw it then. You remember when Pakistan came to the Caribbean, Imran Khan?
Yeah.
And what happened then, we had to come from behind against England in 1990. And by 1995, when Richard Richardson captained the team, when we lost to Australia. But you could see the decline of West Indies cricket, having had that period of 15 years that we went without losing a test series.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what is significant and what is disappointing is that since 1995, we've not really seen any significant improvement in our cricket now. And that must concern
absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely.
It is a very serious thing, you know.
Yeah, and I've lost faith, and I don't think anything will regain my faith.
Oh, dear.
Even if they win one or two matches, that right. will not convince me, because I just think we've gone too far. So, all right, I want to thank you.
Ma'am, before you go, we'd love to have you a Mason and guest sometime. You know, we need
me?
To get a... Oh, please come. I mean,
trust
yes.
me, you do not want me on that program.
Why
trust
is that?
Me. I will tell you another time.
All right.
Have a good evening. Thank you.
Just before you go, can you leave your number with Ronnie Clark? Would you give Ronnie Clark with your number?
I am not sure that I want to do that.
Okay.
I guess you can find out who I am easily. But I really wanted to get Ralph Thorn. But now is the time.
Listen, we are all going to gather at Dover Complex on Sunday.
Well,
just around 3 o'clock. Are you going to be there?
Because I want to anything to support
right.
The youth or
right.
children.
Right.
And I think that either Ralph Thorn or Ida Stetson said
right.
that, you know, the children bring themselves into the world.
Right.
The old people have made the contribution already. So
right.
the old and the young deserve our support.
Wonderful.
Whatever way we can.
Well, please make sure you come and make sure that you're part of that
as
grand.
As long as the sun isn't hot.
No. Bring your umbrella. Bring your umbrella.
All right.
Thank you very much. Time is flying. All right. We spoke earlier today to Anne Brong. Of course, she, of course, is the lead select for West Indies, Anne Brong John. Let's get it right. We had a pretty interesting interview. Let's hear part of that interview.
Okay, our Mason and guest this evening, we are happy to have the lead selector for the women, West Indies women, Anne Brong John. She is all the way in England. First of all, Anne, how are you?
I'm great, really, really great. And today we have bright sunlight.
Bright sunlight. How has the weather been generally, though?
Since we have arrived, it has been like this most of the days. The first few days, we had a bit of rain, and one or two days in between, it has been slightly cold. But if we've been here now for like 22 days, I will say about 17 of those days, 15 to 17, we have had sun.
Good.
And unfortunately, the weather from tomorrow drops to like 13 degrees for the rest of the time that we are here.
Oh, I see. Well, let's hope that things work out for you. We've also been joined by Dr. Andrew Ford, who's my co-host. Dr. Ford, you've got the honor of asking the first question. Maybe it's going to be a tough one as usual from you. How are you, Dr. Ford?
Well, I'll start with an easy question that really relates to the Black Lives Matter statement that was made by the women at the start of the event. How important do you think that was?
It's very, very important to the team. And, you know, it's something that the girls were, as I said, they were looking forward to. They were all excited about it. I have been informed, the manager told me that it's going to be done every game, 45 games before the start of each game. So that is also, that just shows how important the team sees this Black Lives Matter.
Okay. Well, England's is the top team in T20s and we are at number 6. What are your expectations for this five-match tournament here?
Coming into the tournament, we expected that it was going to be a tough one for a number of reasons. One, you know, because of the COVID situation, we have not been able to have a lot of cricket in the Caribbean. As a matter of fact, the girls have not played cricket in 6 months. This is the first time they're coming back. Although some of them, most of them would have been able to do strength and conditioning work in their countries, not all of the countries were they able to do skill work, because I know like Trinidad and Tobago, Guyana, some of these countries have been on lockdown because of the number of COVID cases. So some of those girls have not been able to get into skill work, as much skill work as they would like to have done. However, we have been here for 3 weeks. We were here for 3 weeks before the first game yesterday. So it gave them 3 weeks of getting in some much needed, not only strength and conditioning work, but skill work. I know they're still at a slight disadvantage because of the fact that I think England was able to have two camps before coming into the series with us, because England was previously preparing for South Africa, who ultimately were not able to come. And then they started another camp to prepare for us. So they have had the benefit of two camps, but the girls have been getting stronger every day.
Okay.
I know the match yesterday didn't go the way we would have liked it. We lost by 47 runs and chasing 163, we only got one specific contribution from DeAndre Dotton and some good bowling performances by Selman and Matthews. What do you see as our major challenge and the area we have to improve in order to compete better against this England team?
Speaking with the coaches even before, one of the things that had been identified was that with the 3 weeks preparation that we had, we were not sure that we were going to be at the stage we would have liked to be for the first game, but we knew we were building into it and that we will continue building as the other matches continued. Looking at the game yesterday, England came out hard against our bowlers very early, which was a positive thing, and this is what is expected in T20 cricket. And in some of the bowlers went for quick runs, went for a lot of runs very quickly. You mentioned some of the bowlers who did well, but I thought that the bowler who had the most impact yesterday would probably have been the captain, Stephanie Taylor, had a very good spell. Although Shikhar Selman got 3 wickets, but Stephanie Taylor had a good spell. So I think some of the bowlers would have struggled a bit to get the ball on the line or length that they would have wanted to. But it was our first match. It was their first day out. What I think was the part that we were not as strong yesterday was the batting. Other than the fantastic innings from DeAndre Dotton, we didn't get other people getting into double figures. It could be a couple of contributing things. The fact that they have not played a lot of cricket for a while. They're probably getting accustomed to the England pitches because we would have been training in the nets and then we came out to the middle. So they're getting accustomed to the England pitches and just the overall getting back into competition. So now that they have had a feel for it, they have seen what DeAndre did. And I must say in our practice matches that we had played among ourselves before, we had some good performances from Leanne Kirby, Stephanie Taylor, and some a little less runs, but from Hayley Matthews, Shamika Gajnabi, I think Janelle Henry. So people have been chipping in with some runs, but not as much as we would like at this point in time. And we are hoping that the batting, particularly that middle order of the batting, will come to the fore. And the same aggression that we saw from England yesterday, that we'll be able to see from our batters.
All right. Interesting. Thanks to the lead selector and Brung John offering her thoughts. Of course, tomorrow, the West Indies women will be in battle again, playing against England. They lost the first match and you got 30 seconds. Doc, let's wish them well for the second match. Doc?
Yes, definitely. Let's hope that the women can build on that start and have a better performance with the bat and make us all proud as the series continues.
All right. Well, thanks to you, Doc Ford. Thanks to, of course, Anne Brown-John. We heard from Dr. Kishore Shallow, who, of course, is the Vice President of Cricket West Indies. Ralph Thorne, QC, MP, Dr. Stetson Wiltshire. And, of course, we heard from Alf and Tony Gray, all making Mason and Guest. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a bright tomorrow. It's good night.